Did you rejoice this morning with the rising of the sun? Remind us of His faithfulness. The Son brought us word of His faithfulness. Amen? Well, I want us to turn to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard that the Lord is the everlasting God? He's the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and He increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. Isn't that a great verse? You like it? Well, you like the next part. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and they'll not grow weary. And they'll walk and not faint. We like that scripture, right? Well, there's a word that most of us have a complicated relationship with. It's a word that if we're honest with ourselves, it makes us uncomfortable, impatient, and anxious. And that word is what? Wait. Don't you love it? Wait. But we live in a world that's not does not like to wait. We have fast food. We have fast internet. We have overnight shipping. We have instant answers, and we have a pill for everything. But the kingdom of God operates on a different timetable. Amen. Now, everything I'm going to share this morning, you've already heard. And I'll also say this, nothing I'm going to share is my own fault. I don't have any original thoughts. I thought I did once. When we were in Congo, Pierre and I, when we were establishing the school in the jungle, and we established this curriculum on the importance and biblical presence for working, and we just began to call it the theology of work, and we patted ourselves on the back. We thought, we have come up with something unique. I get back to States the first time after that, and there's a whole website called The Theology of Work. So, none of this is new, but I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to us. Amen? So let's pray for a minute. Father, here we are again. We're Your people. You purchased us with Your own blood. You brought us into Your presence. And then we go together with You into the presence of the Father. Thank You. Thank You, Jesus, for obeying Your Father. And now, Holy Spirit, a gift from the Father. Holy Spirit, we ask You to speak to us. We give You our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears, and change us, Lord. Amen. Now, I know that everyone here, I'm going to make a rash statement. I know everyone here is waiting on God, or you're rejoicing in having just received a response from God. Now, why do I say that? Waiting on God is normal. It's part of the normal Christian life. If you're going to walk with God, you're going to learn to wait. Is that exciting? Yeah. You're going to learn to wait. Not because God is slow, but because waiting is part of His plan. If you're waiting on a breakthrough, a healing, a relationship, a job, a calling, an open door. If the waiting is wearing you out, then I want to encourage you this morning. Okay? Waiting is normal, and it can be hard. It's not a sign that something is wrong. It's not punishment. It's not evidence that God has forgotten you. But that doesn't make it any easier. Waiting is difficult. It's tiring. And it drains us of strength. And the longer we wait, the heavier it feels. We just read a scripture, okay? They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and grow, not grow weary. They'll walk, and they'll not faint. Prefaces that by those whose hope in the Lord, who wait on the Lord, they'll renew their strength. Why do you need your strength renewed after waiting? Well, you know why. Because it's hard, and it drains you. And that's why we need to remind ourselves that waiting, not only is it normal and part of what God, excuse me, how God deals in our lives, but God is doing two things. He's preparing the seed and he's preparing the field. Okay. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 38, Jesus says that the field is the world and the seed are the men, the children of God. And in Luke 8:11, he says that the seed is the word and the field is the world. So we are both field. My heart is the field, but then I'm also seed. Do you feel like seed this morning? Okay? God is preparing my heart, the field of my heart, to receive the seed of the Word of God. But He's also preparing me as seed to go out and be sown. 5 years, worst 5 years of my life. Thus far, my office burned 2 days before Christmas in '89, and because of other things God had done in my life, it wasn't a devastating thing, but I felt like God that there was something new for me out. How many of you are in a place right now where you feel like there's something new, that maybe God is doing something, but you don't know what? You can't identify. And you pray and you ask and He doesn't answer. This went on for 5 years. I remember sitting on the steps. Autumn, you remember this? In our back steps of our house, weeping. I told Autumn, I can't do this anymore. Just can't do this anymore. But I did. The man who discipled me, Bill Herring, many things he taught me. One thing that is a constant help for me is he said, in the midst of a time of confusion or uncertainty, stick with the last word God gave you. And that's what I did. That's for 5 years. And finally, God spoke, and that's where God said, I want you, the short version is God said, I want you to go to Zaire, what's now Congo. And then we waited another 2 years before we actually left. The years that we're waiting are very important years because God's teaching us something. And In the season of waiting, don't devalue the season of waiting, because he's preparing us as seed to be sown. I want to encourage us all to not waste the time during a season of sowing, because we will need what it is he's trying to teach us. I can testify to that. The years of waiting, God was sowing things into me, to me, that I needed, that I drew from in a later season. Does this ring true? Do you understand what I'm saying? Nothing that's ever happened in your life is wasted. Nothing. Every hardship, every disappointment, every delay, God's been using it all to prepare you. Every single thing that's ever happened in your life is preparing you for a moment yet to come. Do you believe that? I will never have it all figured out. I'll never see the full picture. I just need to wait for his direction and guidance, and then I need to respond in faith and obedience. Now hear this. Jesus is not afraid of your doubts or your questions. You're not shaking him. He made you. He knows who you are. And he knows what kind of clay vessel you are. He knows all your cracks. He's not stressed when you get stressed. Okay? But let me give you a word of caution. Never do something permanently foolish just because of your impatience in a temporary season. I want to repeat that. Don't do something permanently foolish because you're impatient now. The scripture's full of people waiting. Joseph waited how many years? Paul waited. Had a great ministry, and then God set him down 8 years in Tarsus making tents. Jesus waited 30 years before he started his ministry. There's plenty of them. The enemy of your future is impatient decisions made in desperate seasons. Are you hearing me? You have an enemy, and the enemy of your future is making impatient decisions when you're desperate. Abraham waited for God to fulfill the promise to him for a son. Yet he got impatient and created an Ishmael, which the world is still dealing with today. When we get impatient, we can't see what God's doing. The temptation is to take matters in our own hands, to manufacture a solution, to force a door open, or to walk away from what God is building. And we create Ishmaels, and we drag them around with us the rest of our life. Okay? Ishmaels. Man's best effort. Isaac. God's plan. So, in Romans 8:25, God said that if we hope for what we do not see, then we wait for it with what? Patience. Why is that one of the fruits of the Spirit? Because God is working in the waiting. Here's what we often miss. God's not waiting for our waiting to end before he does anything. He is working in the waiting not just in the outcome. We think when God responds, and He faithfully responds, amen? We think as He responds that He just moved. He just did something. The fact is, He was doing something all along. He never stops. But this is important. In a season of waiting, we come to the end of what we can control. How many of us are about control? In a season of waiting, we come to the end of what we control. I'm done. I've done it. I'm done. I've done everything I can. I guess I'm just going to have to trust God. Right? Well, this is actually where God does His best work in us, when we stop leaning in on our own strength and we start leaning on Him and His strength. So God's plan's always better than ours. Would you agree with that? His ways are higher. His timing is always perfect, even when it feels to us like it's slow. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways," what? "Submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." You know why it's important that we don't lean on our own understanding? It's because my understanding is severely limited. I don't see clearly. I'm looking through a glass darkly. I don't know what God is aligning, what He's removing, what He's placing, what He's preparing. Because it's not about me. It's not my plan. In Isaiah 55, verse 8, He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways." Aren't you glad? God is preparing something that my mind cannot even imagine, that I could never accomplish in my own strength. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says that no eye has seen, and no heart, and no ear has heard, and neither has it entered into your heart the things that God has prepared for you. That's why we lean on Him. 3 years from 2002 to 2004, we have just gone through a tumultuous time in the ministry in Congo, and I needed somebody to help me. And for 3 years I looked. God was teaching me something. For 3 years I worked myself into a lather. I ended up getting depressed and disappointed. And then when I had done everything I could, God moved. Is that right? No, God was moving before. God was teaching me something about waiting, but He was also preparing the answer. And the answer was Pierre and Bea, who came to Congo to help me, and they were the perfect answer. I could never have fabricated, produced, manufactured an answer like that. They are the best gift to the people in Central Congo. You wouldn't believe it. The perfect response by God to my plea. So do we want the best that we can come up with? How sad is that? Do we want the best spouse that we can find? Do we want the best job that we can find? Do we want the best career that we can develop? We want the best that God has for us. The problem is, we don't know where He's taking us. Do you know where God's taking you? Luke, do you know? Jack? No, you don't know where God's taking you. I look back over 72 years. God, there's no way I could have planned. So let me ask you this. Can we find peace in the midst of waiting? Is it possible? Let's be honest. Scripture never promised that it would be easy. What is promised is His faithfulness in the midst of our struggles. Look at John chapter 16, verse 33. This is what Jesus said about it. I have told you these things. Why? So that you will know that you have peace in me. In this world, you'll have trouble, but be encouraged. Take heart. Hey guys, I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Our peace is in the one who has conquered and overcome everything. What peace? Hallelujah. He doesn't promise us the absence of trouble. He promises us peace in the middle of it. Because He's already overcome it. That peace is not something the world gives. The kind of peace the world gives is conditional. It's based on things going right, how you feel, are you in control, you got it all figured out, everything's going great. But the peace of God is not like that. Peace of God is based in something different. It's based in complete victory, overcoming. And that peace surpasses all understanding. Look at John 14:27. Here's what Jesus said. I'm leaving you peace. He said this before He was crucified. He told His disciples in His last conversation with them before crucifixion, peace I leave you. My peace I give you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world does. Do not let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. Peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is the presence of who? Jesus. Peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is the presence of Jesus. His mercy and His fullness, His faithfulness are not running out. They're not going stale. He hasn't forgotten. Every single morning, including this one, they're brand new. Look at Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Hallelujah. Is that your testimony? For His compassion never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Hallelujah. If God brought you to it, He will bring you through it. Do you believe God is leading your life? If you're in trouble, it's not an accident. God didn't go to sleep. He's not on vacation. He's not busy dealing with somebody else. If God brings you to it, He will bring you through it. God does not waste pain. He redeems it. You can rest in Him. God is still writing your story. You believe that? The world isn't. So, what do we do while we wait? Are you okay with waiting? Are we all on the same page here? We're waiting. Okay? So what do we do? Sleep? Stay surrendered. What is the verse we read? But submit to the Lord and He will direct your path. We must stay submitted. Surrender your life. Walk in the Spirit. Build and maintain relationships. Listen and obey. Waiting is not the same as sitting still. While you wait on God, He's calling us to live. To live. To walk worthy. To grow. To obey. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, but this is your true and proper worship. So surrender completely to Him. And then let's get on with the transformation. Okay? This is what it's about. God is transforming us into His image. Look at Romans 12, verse 2, the next verse. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I remember as a young man struggling, what is God's will for my life? Any of you ever struggle with what God's will is for your life? Here's God's will for your life. I'm going to tell you what God's will for your life is right now. Be obedient today. Walk faithfully today in all that you know. Get rid of all the books about the will of God. The will of God for me today is to hear and obey, to be faithful. The rest is in His hand, because He's the God of my future, and He's the God of your future. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, we are a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. Amen? Let me say this, you cannot wear your old identity and walk in your new one. You can't wear the old man and walk in the new man. We must be transformed. You're looking at me funny. Cheryl, is that not clear? Okay. You can't wear your old identity and walk in your new identity in Christ. So be patient, be obedient, be faithful. And when you've done everything you can, do what? Do what? Stand. Be firm. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, do what? Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I'm sure that everybody here has experienced this, where you feel like what you're doing is wasting time, it's not profitable. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know. I in Congo, there were things that I, times and things that I went through, things I had to do. I said, God, but I tell you what, God was in all of it. I look back now, and those things that I thought were insignificant and unimportant and unproductive proved to be something that God used to do something that only He can do. Waiting is not a season of passive doing nothing. It's not a passive season. It's a spiritual battle, and you need to be dressed for it. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 13. And you know this. Wear the full armor of Christ. But look at the last of the verse 13. And when you, and after you have done everything, stand. So there's another weapon, and that's standing. Okay? Another thing we do while we wait is we be filled with the Spirit. If Jesus, the Son of God, needed to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, then so do we. Was Jesus filled with the power of the Spirit? How do we know this? When He was baptized, the Spirit came and descended on Him. And the Father said, "This is My Son. I'm pleased with Him." I need the Holy Spirit because Jesus needed the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:4, Jesus said, "Don't do anything until what? Wait for the gift of the Father." Jesus knew that until His disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, they would not be effective at the mission that He had given them to go and fill the earth with the gospel. He knew that. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 says that we are to be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. Why? So that we may have what? Endurance and patience. Endurance and patience. So I want to close by bringing us back to Isaiah 40, verse 31. He tells us to wait on the Lord. And He says that those who wait on the Lord will soar above their problems. You like that? That we will run with endurance and we will walk steady and be firm. If you wait, that's what He will do. If we wait on Him and don't operate in our own strength and wisdom, He will do that. We will find ourselves in the midst of problems and difficulties, and we're above them. We look down and say, that's not the issue. Faith does not speak to our circumstances. Speaks to my heart to stand. This promise is not to a people who got it all together. That promise is to a people who have chosen, in spite of uncertainty and in spite of delay and in spite of exhaustion, they have decided to keep trusting God. Waiting on God is not weakness. It's one of the most powerful acts of faith that I can perform. Faith says this: I believe God is who he says he is. I believe he will do what he said he will do. And I'm willing to be obedient and faithful in this place until he moves. 9 years I waited. From 2014 to 2023. I felt, let me go back. In 2004, Autumn and I were in Brussels with the team from Congo. God had just added Pierre and Bea. And we were in bed at night praying. And Autumn started praying. And it turned into a prophecy. And the short version is that God was going to use me in other countries besides Congo to strengthen, encourage, and build up the church, equip the church. Well, all I could see was Congo. 10 years later, I'm in Senegal. God reminded me. And he did this. And from Senegal, went to Uganda, and then Zambia, and while I was in Senegal in 2014, I felt God I just felt the need to have pastor schools all the way across continent, reaching from Senegal to Kenya. And so I started praying, God, would you open doors in these countries? And I waited, I looked, I tried doors, I talked to people. Has God ever been silent? It's not because he's not hearing. It's not because he's not doing anything. He's preparing the seed and the field. You believe that? Your seed and your field. He's preparing you as seed, because he wants to sow us somewhere. And out of the blue, in 2023, a door opened up to go to Ghana. And now we have a school there, and we will graduate that class in October. God did that. And out of that, other doors are opening. Listen, you can trust God. You can trust him. You can trust him. I'm learning to wait, and it's not so hard anymore because I've lived through the consequences of not waiting. And I prefer to wait. I prefer what he does. What I create when I get impatient is a mess. It's a mess. And everybody suffers. Right, Autumn? And because I've waited, God has done some amazing things. And I want to make sure you understand that I'm saying God did amazing things. Nowhere where God is using me in Africa is of my own doing. But God is doing things. I have taught, I teach, by his direction, I teach small schools of teachers. I don't teach mass, don't have big conferences, but these teachers are going out and teaching. So I have taught hundreds. I don't know, maybe close to 1,000. I don't know. I've never counted. But those I've taught are teaching thousands. And that's God. That's what God is doing. And it's bearing fruit. Someone I taught, one of the pastors out there in Senegal, is now started a school in Burkina Faso. My old man. I'm not going to Burkina Faso. He is. I'm not going to however you say that. God is taking the message through people that He's used me to train and equip. And I'm grateful. I waited for 3 years for God to move in Tanzania. I didn't know if He ever would. I went with Thomas, and it didn't seem right. But I still felt, I don't know, it wasn't over. The door wasn't completely closed. So I went back. And then I had concerns, serious concerns. And I had a list. Okay, I'm going to tell them, meet with these five brothers who was the council. I'm going to go over these things. And if they respond positively, then we may move forward. If they don't, I'm not going to press. I'm not going to try to make anything happen. So I went and we started meeting. I started talking, and then they started saying the very things on my list. I said, well, yes. God can do things we can't do, and He will do things we can't do. What He won't do is force me to be a surrendered, willing vessel. That's our responsibility. So I'm not asking you this morning to pretend that waiting is not hard. I'm asking you to stand firm in your faith. I'm not asking you to manufacture a smile over the pain. I'm asking you to trust the One who holds all things. Amen. The Father created you and me for Him. So trust Him. He will use you to accomplish His purpose. Do you believe that? He's not late. He's not distant. And He's not done. Psalms 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. So wait. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand. Father, I thank You that You're in control. I thank You bring us to a place where You show us that we really aren't in control. So You can do amazing things. So I pray You will encourage us today in our innermost being with faith to trust You. Wherever we are today, to be productive in You and leave the future to You, because only You know my future. And I pray for peace. I pray that You, Holy Spirit, that You will fill each person here today in this room with Your peace. Holy Spirit, You are in control, and that You would fill every one of us with Your power, just as You did with Jesus. Bless abundantly each one here today, and I pray that their life would be full of Your mercy and Your grace. Hallelujah. You're a good God, so good, and our testimony is that You're good. And they overcame by, what was it? Huh? They overcame by what? The blood of the Lamb Is that on us? The blood of the Lamb, that's what he did.
But also, the word of their testimony. And what is my testimony? That God is faithful. That I can trust him. So I'll stand and I'll overcome. Hallelujah.
Let it be so, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you.